Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking, just as we were singing, the Lord ministered something to me, and maybe this is a good thing for people to hear here today, whether you're physically here in person or you're watching us online. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was standing before Pilate? And he said, "Tell me, are you the King of the Jews?" And what was Jesus' response? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And you know what the Lord dropped in my spirit when we were singing just a minute ago? If my kingdom is not of this world, then that means my peace is not of this world. My joy is not of this world. All of the things, all of the fruit that I desire from God's kingdom that says they're mine, they are not of this world. It's supernatural. I can have the peace that passes all understanding. I can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It doesn't matter what the world is projecting on us. It doesn't matter what's being seen. I can look at those things and say they are temporary. But the things I have of the kingdom, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. I'm reminded where the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." And I'm going to tell you, you lose all the Baptists and all the Pentecostals there because they believe it is in eating and drinking. Amen. Praise God. But no, the kingdom of God is not physical things like that. What is it? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we can have it no matter what's happening in our life. Well, I want us to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is one of those weeks where Pastor Trey is just going to wing it with you, praise God, and we're going to attempt to hear from the Holy Ghost. There's been a lot going on this week, so my normal preparations for something like this might not have been the way they normally would have been, but listen, we can still hear from God, can't we? Amen? Praise God. But I do want to welcome you to Healing School. That's why we're here today, praise God. How many of you know God still heals? He still works His power in our life. I'm telling you, nothing changes. And all these different things, these temptations that surround us, they don't move us off God's Word. We can still have faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to share with you something that I believe the Lord spoke to me regarding 2021. Since we're starting a new calendar year here at High Point Church, I wanted to begin with giving you what I believe, what thus saith the Lord for us, for this year, for this hour, for this season that we're now living in. In verse 16 of chapter 4, let's begin there. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." All right, so I believe we need to camp on this for a minute. I want you to say it with me. Say, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." Let's say it again. "Therefore, we do not lose heart." Now, I want you to say it and put it in personal terms. I want you to say, "I do not lose heart." "Therefore, I do not lose heart." How many of you know that needs to be your confession? No matter what's happening in this world, no matter what the world is telling us, no matter what the news is telling us, no matter what is seen, we do not become discouraged. We do not allow ourselves to be dismayed. We do not quit. We do not fail. Because why? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How many of you know that might not be the number one scripture we would use at Healing School, that the outward man is perishing? But you know, as long as you're living in this physical world, in this physical body, your body is going to develop wrinkles. It's not going to be as fit as it used to be. You're not going to be able to do all the things you were able to do when you were a teenager. There is just a natural digression physically. Doesn't mean we have to have sickness and disease, brokenness and infirmity in our lives, but there is just a natural digression in our physical bodies that we need to understand. But that's not what we look at. Even though it's perishing, look at this, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now that's what Paul said is the reason we don't lose heart. So basically the point that we can take away from that is we don't look at physical things as being what encourages us. Are things being manifested the way we want them to be? Are we walking out our healing the way we think we should and what God has even promised us to have? Are we looking at the things that are going on around us nationally and politically? If those things aren't working out, that's not where we get our hope from. What do we get our hope from? That in the inward man, in the spiritual realm, in the kingdom of God, which is unseen, things are happening. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Say, things are happening. Things are happening in the kingdom of God. And I will just tell you, this has been, obviously, with the events that went on yesterday in Washington, D.C., things that have been happening over the course of the past few months, nationally and politically, and things like that, it is easy during times like this to allow ourselves to become discouraged and lose hope during this time. If we look at those things. And that's what I believe the Lord is saying to us today. I believe He wants us to no longer give our attention and our heart over to these things that are going on in this natural world. And He wants us to start looking at things that pertain to the inward man, things that pertain to the unseen kingdom, things that pertain to what God is doing. And I'll just be honest with you. People might think it's a perverted thing, but in my spirit, because I check in my heart, and when all this stuff's going on, do you know what I have in my heart going on right now? Excitement. There's an excitement on the inside of me. There's this thing that, yeah, on the outside, I'm having the effects of the things that I can see in the world around me. But on the inside, man, I know great things are in store for the kingdom of God. Our God's working, and everything He said's going to happen will come to pass. And so even though it might seem like the waves are crashing against our boat and things are not going the direction we want them to go, I'm here to tell you today we can have joy because we know what God said is going to happen at the end of this book will happen. We did not lose the Supreme Court. We did not lose the presidency. We did not lose the Senate because ultimately the one that holds all those seats is still on the throne, praise God. And we can be encouraged by that today. Then he goes on to say in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And so the whole point Paul's making there is, even though we have physical things that we're going through in this life, natural, even national things that are not going necessarily the way we might want them to go, guess what? There is something unseen that's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This is what held somebody like the Apostle Paul together. You understand the things Paul went through? He called light afflictions. And if you go and look at what Paul went through, you'll read his resume. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you'll find out real quick, this guy went through far worse things than we ever dreamed of in this life, both personally and in the world around them. Yet, he said, I have joy. I've learned to rejoice in all things, praise God, because you can. And he did it as a lesson for us. Now, verse 18, this is what I wanted us to get to. Verse 18 tells us that these things that are working for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, are working these things for us while something's happening. In other words, that doesn't just happen because you're a Christian, because you've been born again, because you might go to church, because you read your Bible. That doesn't happen just because of who you are. That happens while we do something. And notice what he says. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now I'm telling you, this last year about this time, when the new year came along, and it was 2020, you heard a lot of prophetic words about 2020. And you know what they all revolved around? It's a year of vision. Because they were taking that play on words of 2020 and making it out to be, we're going to see clearly and this and that. And guess what? We certainly do see things very clearly now, don't we, after 2020. And we found out, actually, we saw some things that we might not have wanted to see. Which is what? Where we're at in a lot of cases in our own heart. When these things are happening in the world around us, how do we respond? And I'm just going to tell you, it's time for us to judge ourselves and say, what am I looking at? Where is my focus Where are all these things working in my life? So he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So he's actually telling us to look at something you cannot see. How do you do that? Practically, how would you do that? Well, I'll tell you exactly how I do it. The way I look at things which are not seen is first and foremost, I look in this book, which is described as a mirror. And it's a mirror into the eternal kingdom of God. So these are things that I must choose to look into when things that are seen are not really pleasurable to look at. All right? I must learn to look into these different things. And we were talking about it a little earlier, and Judy was talking about this as we sang a song on New Year's Eve and really went back to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Quit looking at the winds and the waves around you and turn your eyes to his beautiful face, and the things of this world will quickly vanish away. How many of you know that really does work? When we choose to look to the Lord, look at his kingdom, look at his truth, and look at these various things, it absolutely will cause these things that are surrounding us in this world to diminish and not hold the weight and value in our eyes that they absolutely should not have. Amen. So we look at those things by looking at, yes, what the scriptures teach us, what God said is going to happen, but also we look at these things through our heart and through the Holy Spirit who's bearing witness with us. And I want to encourage you with something. When we have things surrounding us like we do right now that can be tempting to discourage you and depress you, what do you need to do? Look in your heart. Look to the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. What is the Holy Ghost saying in that hour? And I tell you, it's during times like this I get more prophetic utterances than I ever get. And you know why? Because it's generally the time I'm not looking out here for stuff. I'm looking in here. And the Lord will encourage you. He'll tell you things like we said earlier. My peace is not of this world. My joy is not of this world. My health is not of this world. My righteousness is not of this world. My being and who I am, my inward man, is exactly what God says it is. And the Holy Ghost will bear witness on the inside of you to those things. He'll encourage you. He'll give you truth that you can chew on. Hallelujah. But he says here, we look at the things which are not, which are seen. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Say temporary. Now, what's awesome to me about that is, I'm telling you, this has helped me in so many areas of my life. If you can see it, it's temporary. If it's physical, if it's natural, if it's carnal, it is temporary. And the word temporary means subject to change. So that means any physical problem I might have in my body, anything that's going on in our nation, anything that's of this world, I can look at it and say, you, my friend, are subject to change. You must change. So the way I feel today will change. The things I see going on in this world, they will change. How many of you know you've been in life enough to be able to see, you know, the things that I really worried about, the things I was troubled about, the things that were going on in my life that I remember just being so terrified of, they changed. They didn't stay that way. You didn't stay in those circumstances. They always change because natural, physical, carnal things are always destined to do that. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. So my joy is eternal. My peace is eternal. My healing is eternal because it is a spiritual truth based on these things, praise God. So I wanted to encourage you with that today to know there is something else we can look at that will help us walk in victory. Just like Peter, when he came out of the boat and supernaturally walked on water as long as he was looking to Jesus. But when he didn't look at Jesus anymore and he was looking at the things of this world, guess what happened? He began to sink. And that's why Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Why? Because you have to learn to look to him when everything around you is screaming, look at me. Because it's going to do that. And that's all the devil wants. He wants us to look at him and give him our full attention. But say this with me, say, I will not do that. I'm going to look at things that are eternal. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1 now. That was all just appetizers for the real meat that we got for today. Hallelujah. This right here, I'm telling you, I was thinking about it earlier this week. It's something that's necessary in our life. It's something that I have seen as one of the greatest deficiencies in most believers' lives of not walking in this life of the kingdom. Because, listen, we can go to church, we can hear truth, we can read our Bibles, we can do all these various things, and that does not mean these truths have impacted our heart to the degree that they should. And that's why I believe Paul gave us a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 that I believe we can absolutely hang our hat on and be something to know. I can put my trust and confidence in this and receive revelation from him so that I can walk out and experience everything God has for me. So let's look here in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to emphasize a part of this prayer that I don't tend to emphasize. I usually emphasize the first couple of three verses, but we're going to go on and look at everything that he prayed in this particular prayer. He begins by saying in verse 17 that his prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Let's continue reading. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, as I was thinking about today's healing school, and it's the first one of the year, I felt it important for us to define what healing school is. And this is the thing that I surmised from it. Healing school is you. Healing school is not a service. It's not a building. It's not another event that we have at this church. You actually are what healing school is all about. It's not about Pastor Trey, Pastor Robert Minton standing up here and entertaining you and laying hands on you and bringing the goods to you. We have our part to play in this, but I believe we all have a part to play in healing school, and this is how we produce the power in our life. Because in verse 19, one of the things Paul prayed, he talked about the hope of our calling, the riches of the glory of the inheritance that God's put on the inside of us, both awesome truths. But I want us to really emphasize this part. And he wanted us to come to know something, have revelation, have wisdom concerning something. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now, I'll tell you, when you're looking at all these words that he uses in this verse, it's like Paul was just grasping for every Greek word that he could think of to hopefully describe in some shape, form, or fashion how great and magnificent the power is that's towards us. He talks about the exceeding greatness of his power that's working through his mighty power. That's what's available to us. It's not something that we hope will happen. It's not something that we have to pray to happen. It's something that's already been made available to us if we get a spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning it. In fact, when he says the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, you know what the word toward is? It comes from a Greek word spelled E-I-S. And this word literally means to come into, towards, or resulting in. But this is the way I would say it. This power of God, the exceeding greatness of his power, is unto, into, and onto us. Oh, that's awesome right there. Praise God. That means God's power, the exceeding greatness of his power, mind you, great power, is available to us, has been deposited in us, and is upon us in our life. But notice this, he goes on to say, it's toward us who believe. And those words right there are very important because they don't describe somebody who is a believer. Somebody who believed on Jesus decades ago and has been a Christian for many different years. When you look those words up in the original language, they literally say, the ones who are currently believing. It's talking about you are actually believing right now. So that's not describing our belief in Jesus, our general faith. What this is talking about is people who are putting their faith currently and presently in this power that is available to us. Ah, so that's where the rubber meets the road, amen. Now we've got to actually be putting, exercising our faith in God's power in our life to do what? Notice what he says, according to the working of his mighty power. He goes on to describe this power in verse 20. Look at this. Which he worked in Christ. Now the which he's referring to here is that exceeding greatness of his power. So get this. The power that's been made unto, into, and onto us. That power is the same power God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That means resurrection power and ability of God is available to us as we put faith in it, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Now, that, when you study the scriptures, you come to find out real quick, that is the greatest power God ever demonstrated. Do you know how I know that? I'll take you to a few scriptures. Go to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Let's talk about when God actually did a few things. Psalm 8, and I believe it's verse 3. We've got it up on the screen for you. It says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And that's all we need to look at right there. Here's the point. This psalmist right here says this to us. He tells us the work of the heavens from the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that's in this galaxy that surrounds Earth, they are the work of God's fingers. That means, get a picture here, when God said, let us create all these things, it was just his fingers that he took to arrange all those things. Now, if you're only using your fingers to create something and work something, you're not exerting all the strength you really have, are you? I mean, this is just a minor, because it's a minor thing. That's not a lot of power. But notice this. When we look at Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 102. Let's look at this one. Psalm 102, I want you to notice something. God created the galaxy, the universe, with his fingers. But notice what he did in Psalm 102 and verse 25. It says, of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. So what it's saying here is, it's describing that the foundation of this actual physical planet we call Earth that we live on, and its atmosphere around it, those heavens, they're the work of God's hands. So he created the universe with his fingers. He created the earth with his hands. And in order for him to use his hands, that means he exerted more power, more ability in creating this planet than he did any other planet that we have in the solar system. Can you imagine why? Because this is the planet that the ones created in his likeness and image were going to live on. So he exerted more effort. And when you study all the rest of the planets, you find out Earth is much more beautiful than all of the known solar system out there, any other planet that's out there, right? So you could see why God actually exerted more of his power. He used more of his power to create the earth. But here's the awesome point. Isaiah 53:1 tells us, Now, what is Isaiah 53 all about? Isaiah 53 is the chapter about our salvation, what Jesus Christ was going to accomplish through his death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So what's he revealing to us here? Is that when God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he didn't just use his fingers, he didn't just use his hand, he used his arm to raise him up out of that grave. The exceeding greatness of God's power was exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So, with all that in mind, based on Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible teaches us that we need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the exceeding greatness of his power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, is available unto us. What does that mean? The arm of the Lord, not just his hands, not just his fingers. The arm of the Lord is the actual power and ability of God that's been made available to me and you. That's a lot of power. Can you imagine why we got to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning this? God, open my eyes. Please show me that this power is readily available to me, and let my heart capture these truths. Because it's not good enough for me to just mentally assent to these things and say, oh, I know this is true. My heart needs to be impacted with this so that when we're living out this life on this earth, I know God's power is available to me. Amen. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1 then. Ephesians 1. Praise God. I'm telling you, these are truths that we've got to chew on them. We've got to have the Lord reveal them to us and keep our hearts established in them. He says, which he worked in Christ, verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Notice this, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. In every name that is named. Weren't we just singing about that this morning? At the name of Jesus, darkness must flee, demons must flee. This name right here is one of the ways in which God has made available that power to us. The name is the authority for that power. Amen. So when I've got that name, then that means I've got the name which is the arm of the Lord. The arm of the Lord will back that name up in my life when I put faith in that, when I put my trust and my hope in those things. So it's every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now, let me ask you, that basically means anything that's ever had a name associated with it, Jesus' name is far above it. Would that not include ADD? Would that not include strokes? Would that not include anything that they've ever given a name over to? From heart disease to anything. All of those things that's ever had a name associated with it, I know I got a name that's far above any of those names. So this is the way we should respond. If the doctor comes and tells you, I hate to tell you this, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and they come and give you a bad report. And they come and say, I hate to tell you today, but you have, just throw anything out there. You have heart disease, let's use that. And they put a name to it. You know what your response can be? Oh, praise God. And they'll be like, what the world are you praising God about? Why are you excited about this? Because I know you just put a name on it, and I know I got the name which is above every other name at my disposal, and all the power of God, the exceeding greatness of power, backing that up in my life. The name of Jesus is far above those things. But see, this ain't going to happen just because we hope it happens or because God said it's going to happen. It happens as we exercise faith in these things on any given day. And me and Pastor Robert were talking about this before the service today, that this is not something that you got it one day and then you got it the rest. Like if you get the revelation of this today, it doesn't mean you're going to walk in the reality and the power of this every day of your life. It is a constant keeping my heart, guarding my heart so that my heart stays full of these things in my life. Amen. I'm putting more faith in God's power than in the power of the devil and everything else that's going on out there. Amen? So every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Look at verse 22. This is awesome. And he put, subjected all things under his, Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Say it with me, say, to the church. That's important words right there. When he says he put all things under his feet, let me ask you a question. God put everything under Jesus' feet. Where is Jesus' feet located? Are they on the head or are they on his body somewhere? Now, your feet are not attached to your head. They're a part of your body. So what this is telling us is he put everything in subjection underneath the lowest member of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're the most insignificant part of the body of Christ. We've got to wrap our heads around and get our hearts in tune with the fact that anything is underneath me, no matter where you're at, no matter how low you feel like you are on this whole grand scheme of things. Amen. That's honestly where we've got to keep our heart inclined towards so that we're walking in this power and we're walking in this authority. And I'm going to tell you, I can just feel it in the world around us, is that we have everything putting pressure on us right now to not believe any of this. You know that? Everything around us, everything that's happened this year, from people passing away to things that are going on where it doesn't seem like any of it's working. This is the time the rubber meets the road and we determine whether we believe this to be true or not. And as for me and my house, we will believe this. It's always true. It's always undeniable. It is always something that's certain that I can put my faith in this. And if it doesn't work for somebody next to me, though 10,000 fall at my right hand, it will not come near me. Amen? Because we have to choose that this is going to be our reality in our life. So he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. You know, I was thinking about this in regards to the human anatomy. What's the most important part of your body? Your physical body. What's the most important part? I mean, you could make a case for the heart, but I'm going to tell you, it's your head. You lose your head, everything else is jacked up. If your brain gets all messed up, I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't take much at all for God to just adjust one little thing in your brain and you'll be walking around like a vegetable with drool coming out of your mouth. I'll tell you, your head is important. So when it comes to the body of Christ, Jesus is the most important. Jesus is absolutely the top of the food chain, the absolute authority. Life comes through him. He is the one that coordinates all of this. But as it is with our physical body, did you know if it were just your head and there were no hands and no arms, there are actually people on this planet that don't have the function of all these members in their body, but they got their head working just fine. And guess what? They can do nothing. They can talk, maybe. They can look, they can hear, but in terms of doing something physically, they're not able to do it. Why? Because they don't have the fullness of their body. I'm here to tell you today, it works exactly the same way in the body of Christ. Jesus is the most important part as the head. He's the one where the orders come from. But the things actually get done here on the earth through the body. Amen. So a lot of different Christians, we're doing this. We're actually asking God. We're asking God to do it. You know, I brought this thing out, and I was just trying to get people to think on our pastor's study group. And I asked the question. I said, if you had a friend in your life that maybe owned like a rental home, okay? They're the owner. They own the deed to this thing. And they were having vandals break into this rental home, stealing things from it and vandalizing it and doing all this different stuff. And then you asked them and you said, what are you doing about it? And they said, well, I'm just asking God to take care of the vandals and keep these things from happening and protect my property. And what would you tell them? Well, obviously, in a situation like that, you say, you can't just ask God to protect your property. You need to call the police. You need to get down there physically and take care of it yourself. There's things you need to do in order to keep the thief from coming and stealing, killing, and destroying in your life. Right? Why do we think differently with things in the kingdom of God? Is that when it comes to our physical body, which is our rental home, and we're basically saying, oh God, please heal me. I'm waiting on you to heal me. I'm trusting God for you to heal me. It don't work that way. You resist the thief. You tell the devil where to go. You speak to your body and you make it get in line with God's word. It's us as the body doing things with hands and feet to take authority over this body. Amen. You following what I'm saying? So it's this way when it comes to the kingdom of God in various different ways. He gave him to be head over all things. And then when Jesus was able to stand there and say, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Oh, praise God. The first church of the frozen chosen. Well, amen that one. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has all authority and power in heaven on earth. Amen, right? Then Jesus turns around and says after that, go therefore. Meaning what? I have all the authority and the power, but now you go and do these things in my name. Why? Because we're the body and we're the ones that are here on the earth and we're the ones that he's put things under the feet of. And now we have to exert that authority. We have to use it through prayer, through speaking, through authority, and through doing different things. And now we make sure in our life and in the world around us, we bring the goods in the kingdom of God everywhere we go. Amen. It's a personal choice, a personal decision of what our house is going to experience and what we're going to bring with us all around the world to us. We could sit there and go shut ourselves up and lock ourselves in the basement through all of these tough times that are ahead. Or we can raise ourselves up and say, I'm going to be the light of the world. I'm going to be the salt of the earth. This is where the rubber meets the road. And this is where we're going to have to make some decisions on whether we're going to experience these things in our life. Amen? That's why he says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Look at verse 23. Which is his body. So he's saying the church is his body. And notice how he describes the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of him. Did you know we are the fullness of God? Now, I'm going to tell you, religion don't like this, and most people would never say this. We would all attest to the fact that we're incomplete without him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Amen? Right? But this verse tells me, because the word fullness means complete, he's incomplete without us. Just like the head being separated from the body would be incomplete and the head would be incomplete. Us together with him, we are the fullness of him. We are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and what he described here as the church. We're the ones here on this earth that's getting things done. Should be that way. Amen? So when we're looking at this, it forces me to define what the church really is. I said, you are healing school, right? Well, guess what? You are the church. This brick and mortar building we're in today is not the church. We are. And what's interesting is when you look the word church up, when you go and study it out, you find out what this word really means. It comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And this word means those that are called out. Literally is what it means. Those that are chosen, that are selected, and that are elected out of something. It was actually a word that was used in the early first century church to describe a king who dwelt in his castle up on the mountain. And in this position of authority, he's the ultimate authority, but he knows he can't be in all the villages and all the cities that are under his domain doing every little thing. So you know what he did? He sends people down to these little cities, to these little villages. And you know what he does? He selects, he elects certain individuals out of these areas to do what? To be his democracy. That's the word that's used to describe the church. The church is the authority of God in these villages that we live in here on the earth. And God is reigning from heaven, but He as the head has given the name to us. He's given the authority to us for us to rule and reign in the world around us. That's what it means to be the church. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. That's what you and I have been made available to us. And that's an awesome responsibility. It was somebody when I put that whole example out about what would you do with that rental home? You know what? Somebody responded with this comment, and I love it. That when Jesus came to his disciples, and said, the disciples came to him, and they said, the multitude's here, and they're hungry. What was Jesus' response? You feed them. You know what? I believe that if they would have known who they were with, and what they had available to them, I believe the disciples could have done the exact same miracle Jesus wound up doing for them in that situation. And I believe that's what God's doing. He's saying to us today, we're in these villages down here and He's in the kingdom. He's saying, come up hither. Come up higher and start to think differently. See yourself as the democracy of God. People ruling power. And understand, you've got my name, you've got my authority, and the exceeding greatness of my power has been made available to you. Now, use that power. Yes, in your own sphere of life, in your own world, but also in the lives of those that are around you. I believe this is what's happening. Our earth is heading towards a time where the real body and bride of Christ is about to rise up. And there is going to be a remnant. There's going to be a people that are going to raise up during this time where things in this world might be falling apart. And they are going to rise up and we're going to see feeding of the multitudes. We're going to see people raised from the dead. We're going to see these things. And you know why they're going to happen more than what we've maybe seen them happen in the world today? Because the pressure's on. There is no more opportunity to put our trust and hope in the things of this world. And that just because we've done that, that has impeded us. It really has. We've lived in one of the most prosperous nations that we've ever had on this planet. And guess what happened? As a result of that, the parable of the sower has come to fruition. The thorns have choked the production of God's word. But when those thorns are taken away, no trust in riches, cares of this world, guess what's going to happen? Good ground will be manifested and good fruit will be produced in our life because we're going to be the church. We're going to be the body. We're going to be the bride and we're going to walk these things out. Anybody else in here planning on coming with me on doing a little bit of this in your life? Amen? Just one of you? Just Lynn and Judy? Hey, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We should all be making a decision today and resolve that no matter what happens, I am going to walk in the power and in the authority of God. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Judy, come on up.